Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, as we head out to the SDCCU fan hotline, we welcome Daniel Kaplan from the Sports Business Journal on this Thursday morning. And Daniel, welcome to the program. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with Robert Kraft, because I do want to get into the Alliance of American Football, but could you kind of let us know exactly where this is at right now with Robert Kraft and the sex tape? He's trying to, he and his lawyer, obviously, trying to get that suppressed to where it's not be made public. Where are they at in that process right now?
Well, the prosecutor had said they were going to, under state law, divulge it, and the Kraft's lawyer got the judge in the case to stay that decision at least until there's a court hearing. So that's suspended right now. The hearing's later this month, so we'll have to. I guess if you're interested in seeing it, you'll have to wait and see.
Why is the prosecution pushing so hard to have that tape made available to the general public? To me, the man has already been shamed quite a bit in the media.
Look, I don't disagree with you, and the prosecution's case on sex trafficking has apparently fallen apart. The prosecutor has said that they are required to disclose the evidence under state laws, but it does seem like they are very heavy-handed in their treatment of this case, and both sides are dug in.
So I guess it's kind of TBA to be announced going forward, so we'll probably find something out in about 30 days?
Well, the hearing is, I believe, later this month, so we'd know sooner than that. If I had to make a guess, my guess is the judge will suppress the videotape, because there doesn't appear to be any journalistic reason. I know there's some journalism outfits wanting the tape, but everything in the tape has been described. We know what occurred. We don't need to. I mean, I can't imagine there's anything in the tape that we need to see.
Yeah, I know I'm not looking forward to that tape being put out there for public consumption. There's no need to whatsoever. They can handle the case however they want to handle it, but I don't think we need to see what the particulars that went on that Sunday prior to a playoff game. Daniel Kaplan from the Sports Business Journal, nice enough to join us this morning on the SDCCU fan hotline. Let's get to the American Alliance of Football, because I like the product. I'm disappointed that the powers to be so misguided and calculated what they were going to be able to get done. I thought it was going to be definitely a league that would be around for about 3 years, but after filing Chapter 7 bankruptcy yesterday, it sounds like they're like $48 million in the hole.
Well, I mean, they list assets of, I believe, $11 million, so it would be $11 million less than that, but yeah, they are for a league that was in existence for a few months. They're in the hole, $30-35 odd million. So this is a classic case of a league that got to market too quickly. It tried to jump ahead of a competitor, the XFL. It did not have the capital. It had promises of capital, but that was very different than having the capital in the bank, and that's a hard lesson I think the co-founders learned.
Daniel, you know, one of the things I thought, and I'm going off of what I saw here from the San Diego Fleet, and by the way, the fans here in San Diego were really warming up to the San Diego Fleet, and the people that went out really, they enjoyed it. It was good competitive football, but it seemed like they were running everything kind of out of the league office, and they were telling, it was kind of a cookie cutter situation where every team was kind of doing things very similar, and they weren't necessarily looking at a certain market. This is the way you need to market in San Diego. This is the way you need to market in other parts of the country. And I don't think they really gave the people running the teams in the different cities really the right game plan, nor did I think they gave them enough of time to really go out and try to bring in sponsors, because the business aspect of it, the football on the field, I think we all agree, wasn't bad at all, and it was a lot better than most of us thought it would be. But the business aspect, least of all in San Diego, never really got started the way it would need to go long term.
Well, this is what happens when you try to launch a league in March of 2018 for February of 2019. I talked to many people in the build-up in the December-January period who would not do business with this league because they saw this coming. It was just way too rushed. I don't know if it was naive of Charlie Ebersole or something else, but it did not make a heck of a lot of sense, especially when the capital that he thought was coming in the door walked away in late December, January. That was Reggie Fowler. Somebody asked me the question the other day, why did they push through when the main capital backer had walked away? They found Tom Dundon, but obviously he was not the answer either.
Explain Tom Dundon. You know, we heard he was going to toss in $250 million, and then just a few weeks later, the league collapses.
Well, when that number came out, we at Sports Business Journal quickly corrected it. That was a farcical figure. And Dundon actually got on the phone with us and sort of apologized that number was floating around out there, because he said he had his own friends calling him saying, "What are you doing? Are you crazy?" what he did was he acquired the league in return. He didn't put any money in, but he agreed to cover operating losses, which during the 7 weeks he owned it, ran $50, $60, $70 million. But he did not invest $250 million. That was a figure he said was sort of, if he held on to it for a long period of time and they expanded to 32 clubs, he could envision spending that amount of money. So, you know, the reports in mid-February that he put $250 million in, which gave a lot of people confidence in the league, were completely erroneous. And clearly, after he looked under the hood of the league, he didn't like what he saw.
Daniel, was the NFL ever really interested in partnering with the AAF?
I think there was some interest. I am told those last-ditch talks between the NFL and the NFLPA and the AAF, that there was some receptivity to it. The last players on the bench who aren't getting practice time, or players who aren't on squads, I mean, the NFLPA wants those players to get competition. So does the NFL. I think the problem became that Dundon wanted more than that. He didn't just want a pipeline of players. He wanted the NFLPA and the NFL to pay for the insurance of the players, to pay even the salaries of the players, sort of akin to NFL Europe. And he would just be in the business of marketing the league, not paying the players. So that was a big problem. I'm told Bill Polian, the co-founder, thought they had a deal with the NFL and NFLPA, and Dundon just axed it, and that's why Polian came out with that angry comment after the league folded.
We're visiting with Daniel Kaplan from the Sports Business Journal, joining us here on the SDCCU fan hotline. You know, one of the things that I would bring up, Daniel, and, you know, I don't know if anybody's talked about it, you know, all these teams were basically owned by the league, and everything was being run out of the league office, and Bill Polian, and you mentioned Charlie Ebersole. Was there ever a thought about actually selling the different franchise to individuals?
Well, there's two ways you can go about it. One is what's called the technical term is unitary holding structure, which is what the AAF is, which is what the XFL is. And then there's the individual team ownership, which is what you're probably more familiar with the other major sports leagues. The MLS is actually a unitary holding structure. They've just evolved where the teams have operators that are akin to owners. But the advantages of unitary holding structure is it's supposed to be it's more cost efficient. You can control where the players go. You don't have teams competing on payroll. Everything essentially organized. Now, of course, you need to have your act together, and you need to have capital. And that was not the case with the AAF. You mentioned the local marketing. They didn't have money for that. They didn't have time for that. They didn't have the hires for that. I mean, I was talking to creditors who were calling me saying they couldn't even get a there were no accounts payable at these teams. I mean, it's nuts, crazy stuff like that.
Charlie Ebersol, if I'm not mistaken, you may correct me on this, but wasn't he involved with Vince McMahon in the XFL once upon a time?
His dad was, Dick Ebersol, and that was through NBC Sports. NBC Sports and the XFL, and WWE co-owned the short-lived XFL in 2001. And, you know, Vince McMahon, if you talk to him, as I have, he's taken a lot of lessons from that. And one of the lessons, ironically, was not to rush to market. And that is precisely the sin that the AAF did. If you go back and look at the history of it, in February 2018, McMahon announced he was going to launch the XFL. March of 2018, suddenly Ebersol has a press conference in New York that he's going to launch this thing called the Alliance of American Football. And here we are 13 months later talking about the bankruptcy filing.
Do you think the XFL has a puncher's chance this time to make a long-term goal, of 3, 4, 5 years?
I'm bullish. I've always said I was bullish on the XFL and not on the Alliance, precisely because of capital. These leagues, first and foremost, it comes down to money. The Alliance did not have it. The XFL has it through Vince McMahon. He's willing to put up to $500 million. He has the money. He sold the WWE stock. They're playing in mostly NFL stadiums, which have significant costs, which shows you that they've got the capital there. They've made impressive hires on head coaches, team presidents. They're putting serious money behind it. The kind of moves we did not see with the AAF, except in the few exceptions of head coaches.
Daniel, a couple of other quick questions. We had a real good coach here in San Diego, Mike Martz, and we know Steve Spurrier, and a lot of good coaches and a lot of good assistant coaches and coordinators in this league. As far as the coaches and players, did everybody get paid, or that's part of this whole Chapter 7?
No, they did not get paid. That's part of this Chapter 7. The list of creditors, Spurrier is on the list of creditors, for example. Don't ask me how much he's owed. I forget. But the list of creditors goes over 1,000 pages. And that's because they're all the players, the coaches, anyone who did business with the league. The big creditors are MGM, CBS, Aramark, the concessionaire. But there are so many businesses that are owed $1,000, $5,000. The hotels in San Antonio where training camp was, there's over $1 million owed to hotels in San Antonio. Mm. It's if you're owed money by the AAF, the chances of you getting even pennies on the dollar are slim.
All right, Daniel, after they filed that petition yesterday down in Texas for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, what happens now?
Well, it goes through the court bankruptcy proceedings. There'd be a liquidation of the assets. There are some secured creditors, MGM is one, that have first dibs on property, which would be, I assume, anything like computers, office equipment. What happens to the IP is an interesting question, the intellectual property. That's a question a lot of folks have had about the app. There's been made about the amount of investments put into the gambling aspects of the AAF app. That will be something to watch in bankruptcy court, what happens with that IP.
You know, obviously, Charlie Ebersol has egg all over his face, but he also pulled in a Pro Football Hall of Famer and Bill Polian as well.
He pulled in, Hines Ward was involved. You look at these head coaches. There are a number of high-profile people. And one of the questions I've been asking, it's not just the ones we've mentioned. I mean, CBS is owed $5 million. They're a creditor. They put their brand on the line with televising this league. Why were so many people unaware of that this league was foundering, that it did not have the capital? And it's a question a lot of folks are asking themselves today.
Daniel, 8 games they played. You know, everybody played 8 games in this league, totally folded. That's amazing to me.
They barely got it to week two. If Dundon had not come in and bailed them out, they would not have gone to week two. Why they were pushing to even get into the regular season when their chief backer Reggie Fowler had gone away? You know, that's a question again to ask Charlie Ebersol if he'll answer it. Why did you keep pushing this league forward when you didn't have the money?
Absolutely unbelievable. Daniel, thanks so much for the time. I'll look forward to doing this again, and keep up the great work.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
There you go. Daniel Kaplan from the Sports Business Journal joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. You can nominate SDCCU, the best credit union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll, daily at SDCCU.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big banking. It's better.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.